Bhagavad-gacharya, Asta-tara-sata-sri Srimad-sivangaya-sethi-bhakti-vinanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Asta-tara-sata-sri Srimad-sivangaya-sethi-bhakti-vinanta ki jai. Namaskar-ki-vaishnava-vrinda ki jai. Namacharya-sivaharidastakur ki jai. Prem Shikol Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.
Jai.
Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopina Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai.
Jai.
Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Maya Purama Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Maya Muna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Jai. Ki jai.
Jai.
Bhaktivrinda ki jai.
Jai.
Premanande.
Evil.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sanyavadi Paspatyade Shatarane. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
It's July 26, 2011, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Text 20.
Nata-nataka-gandharva.
Sutamagadavadina.
Sutamagadavadina.
Gayanti Chotama Sloka.
Gayanti
Chotama Sloka.
Charitanyadbhutanicha.
Charitanyadbhutanicha.
Nata Nartaka Gandharva.
Nata Gandharva.
Sutamagada Bandina.
Sutamagada
Bandina.
Gayanti Chotama Sloka.
Gayanti
Chotama Sloka.
Charitanya Bhutanti Cha.
Daritani
Adbhutani Cha.
Nata-nartaka-gandharva. Sutamagata-vandina.
Sutamagata-vandina.
Gayanti-chotama-shloka.
Gayanti-chotama-shloka.
Charitanyadbhutanicha.
Nata-nartaka-gandharva.
Sutamagada-bandina.
Gayanti
Chotama Shloka.
Charitanya Bhutani Cha.
Charitanya Bhutani Cha.
Nata Nartaka Gandharva.
Sutamagata Vandaniha.
Sutamagadavandina.
Gayanti Chotama Shloka.
Gayanti Chotama Shloka.
Charitanya Adbhutanicha.
Charitanya Adbhutanicha. Nataka Gandharva.
Nata-nartaka-gandharva.
Gayanti-chotama-shloka.
Gayanti-chotama-shloka.
Charitani-adbhutani-cha.
Nata-nartaka-gandharva. Sutamagata-vandita.
Sutamagata-vandina.
Gayanti-chotama-shloka.
Gayanti-chotama-shloka.
Charitanyadbhutanicha. Nata. Dramatist.
Nartaka.
Dancers.
Gandharvaha.
Celestial singers.
Sutta.
Professional historians.
Professional historians.
Magadha.
Magadha.
Professional genealogists.
Professional genealogists.
Vandinaha.
Professional learned speakers.
Professional learned speakers.
Gayanti.
Gayanti.
Chant.
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 Cha. Respectively.
Respectively.
Uttama Shloka.
Uttama Shloka.
Supreme Lord.
Supreme Lord.
Charitani.
Charitani.
Activities.
Activities.
Adhutani.
Adhutani.
All superhuman.
All superhuman.
Cha.
And.
If I could interrupt just for a moment. So, who's listening? If you could get one more minute,
So again, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, text 1, canto 1, chapter 11, text 20, July 26, 2011, in Hilo, Hawaii. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions, being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. Purport. It appears that 5,000 years ago, the society also needed the services of the dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, public speakers, etc. Dancers, singers, and dramatic artists, mostly hailed from the Shudra community, whereas the learned historians, genealogists, and public speakers hailed from the Brahmana community. All of them belonged to a particular caste, and they became so trained in their respective families. Such dramatists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and public speakers would dwell on the subject of the Lord's superhuman activities in different ages and millenniums, and not on ordinary events. Nor were they in chronological order. All the Puranas are historical facts described only in relation with the Supreme Lord in different ages and times, as well as on different planets also. Therefore, we do not find any chronological order. The modern historians, therefore, cannot catch up the link, and thus they unauthoritatively remark that the Puranas are all imaginary stories only. Even 100 years ago in India, all dramatic performances were centered around the superhuman activities of the Supreme Lord. The common people would be verily entertained by the performances of dramas, and yatra parties played wonderfully on the superhuman activities of the Lord. And thus, even the illiterate agriculturalist would be a participant in the knowledge of Vedic scripture, despite a considerable lack of academic qualifications. Therefore, expert players in drama, dancers, singers, speakers, etc. are required for the spiritual enlightenment of the common man. The genealogist would give account completely of the descendants of a particular family. Even at the present moment, the guides in the pilgrimage sites of India submit a complete account of genealogical tables before a newcomer. This wonderful act sometimes attracts more customers to receive such important information. Natanarta Kagandharva Sutamagada Vandina Gayanti Chotama Sloka Charitan Yad Bhutanti Cha. Expert dramatists, artists, dancers, singers, historians, genealogists, and learned speakers all gave their respective contributions,
being inspired by the superhuman pastimes of the Lord. Thus they proceeded on and on. So, storytelling in the form of drama, in the form of paintings, in the form of dancing, in the form of songs, in the form of history, in the form of genealogy, and in the form of public speaking. Stories and accounts of the superhuman activities, Adbhuta, right? We sing every day to Lord Nisingadev, Adbhuta Sringa, of Uttama Sloka. And what an appropriate name for Krishna in this particular verse. Sloka means verses. Uttama means supreme, above ignorance. So a name for the Lord, he who is glorified by transcendental verses. So here we see that all of the entertainment on every level by people of various talents, whether Shudras or Brahmanas, that they were inspiring everybody to worship the Lord and giving them transcendental knowledge, even if they were unable to read the Shastra or unable to grasp. Maybe they could read decode the letters, but unable to grasp perhaps the deep philosophical significance. So this need for entertainment, originally it comes from the spiritual world. So of course, Krishna is always dancing with the gopis. And not only are they dancing, but as Kavi Karnapur describes in the Nanda Vrindavan Champu, Radha and Krishna also sit and watch the dancing of the gopis to entertain them. So they are dancing, and also they are sitting and watching and being entertained by the various gopis. And Krishna with the cowherd boys, as described in Bhagavatam and in Krishna book. So they are also dancing and singing. And Krishna will say, my dear friends, you are dancing and singing very nicely. So Krishna likes to dance, and he likes to watch the dancing and singing, and he likes the artistry of his devotees. And we read that every evening, Nanda Maharaj arranges in Vrindavan for there to be entertainment. So everyone is sitting and watching. Of course, they're not all watching the entertainment. Most of the devotees instead are watching Krishna, watching the entertainment. Just like I remember in the 55th Street Temple, we were seeing a play of the Ramayana when Srila Prabhupada was there in 1976. Lohitaksha and Rasagya were playing Ram and Sita. Lokamangala was playing Ravana. Right? Now all three of them have given up their material body. Anyway, we were watching them in this performance. Srila Prabhupada was about two rows in front of us. And he was so much enjoying this performance. And the performance was such, whether it was due to the mood of the performance or Srila Prabhupada's presence in the theater or some combination of both, at least for myself, I stopped being in New York and I started being in the Dandaka Forest. They actually transformed. They were so much absorbed in the divine pastimes and in the Lord that the Lord manifested through them. And it stopped being Lohitaksha and Rasagya and Lokamangala, and it started being Ram and Sita actually there in the forest, and Ram and Lakshman and Jatayu and Sita calling out to Jatayu, no, don't fight with him. You are old and he is much stronger than you. And still, of course, Jatayu fought to try to stop Ravana, and his glory was in his endeavor, even though he was superficially defeated. Anyway, so these drama performances, they're going on even in Goloka Vrindavan. So every evening, Nanda Maharaj is having everyone watch a dramatic performance. And they're telling the pastimes of the Lord. They're telling about the Lord's incarnations and his activities. And Krishna's watching. Krishna's watching. And he's enjoying, and all the residents are also enjoying. So in this world also, we have a need. It's not just a desire, it's a need. We have a need for fun and for play and for entertainment. It's part of our original spiritual nature. We're not designed simply to work. In fact, work is what is artificial, because in our original state, we're simply engaged in lila and krida. Krida means play. So it's interesting that psychologists have understood that when a person feels very joyful, it opens up their creativity. And one of the things they want to do is play. And in this way, they are open to greater understanding and to greater innovation. Whereas when a person is overcome by very negative emotions, such as anger and fear, it's like putting blinders on. you're focused just on that negative emotion and you can't understand anything around you, what to speak of being willing to play or engage in something that's creative. So Krishna, as the embodiment of bliss, Satchidananda Vigraha, he is bliss personified. He's always wanting to exhibit that bliss in playfulness, and we call it pastimes. What is a pastime? In English, the word pastime generally refers to entertainment and sporting activities. So these are also very prominent here in Dwarka. We find, however, that in the modern society, that this entertainment is one of the main ways in which people are drawn away from Krishna. So here in Dwarka, it's one of the main ways in which everyone is being drawn closer to Krishna. But in modern society, it's exactly the opposite. You know, those of us who've been visiting India over, periodically through the last decade, so we've seen the country, even out in the villages, I mean, even in Vrindavan, become very quickly degraded. And it's not difficult to understand what is the source of this degradation. You know, we were discussing how in the Western countries also, that somehow the degradation seems to have speeded up. The rate of degradation. You know, and this is not really a subjective thing. If you look at the rate of crime, if you look at the rate of broken homes, juvenile delinquency, the violence of the crime, all these things that seem to have accelerated. So why is that? It's not a very difficult thing to understand. Everybody knows. Right, Maharaj Parikit was fighting with Kali himself. And Kali now has his Senapati, his leader of the army, who is able to travel all over the world very swiftly and move people to materialistic values. And that is, of course, the ubiquity of modern media, television, movies, now the internet. And in some countries like Saudi Arabia, they understand that. They understand this principle, and they are trying to ban these things, although not very successfully. But the point is that what we hear about, what stories we hear about, it affects our desires, it affects our consciousness. Karana guna sangasya sadasad karma yonisu. So it affects our modes of nature. It affects what birth we are going to take. It affects everything. This was the essential, this speaking of stories and histories has always been, in all societies, the main way in which culture and value were transmitted. And if we think about people who take up Krishna consciousness, maybe even for ourselves. You know, we were speaking last night in Volcano about the second generation devotees and what percentage of them are strict sadhakas. And we were saying that although in our anecdotal experience, I mean, no one's done any scientific research. But in our own anecdotal experience of traveling to many places in the world, we see that the majority of second generation, they want to identify as devotees and have some connection with practicing Krishna consciousness, but only a small percentage want to take the process up seriously. And I was thinking, I wonder what percentage of older people who, you know, for lack of a better word, are converts, how many of them take it up seriously? Ramai Swami was speaking yesterday. He said that we have to continue being a practitioner. But I continue to be surprised at how many people I meet who tell me, no, I haven't been chanting 16 rounds for years now, or I have this problem or that problem. It's something that somehow or other continues to surprise me. And I think that we know that one of the causes, one of the main problems with people remaining firm in their Krishna consciousness is going for entertainment and going for fun to materialistic places. I mean, again, this is not a secret. This is not something that's very surprising. That one of the main reasons that people lose faith in Krishna consciousness, or one of the main reasons that they don't keep up with their practices, is that they take this basic, originally spiritual need for entertainment and for fun, and because it isn't readily available in a Krishna conscious way. We don't have, you know, if you go in any city, you'll not see that the dramatists and the public speakers and the art is all bringing you closer to Krishna. I mean, except in a very, very few places in the world. I mean, even when I stay out at Govardhan, if you walk along the Parikram path, you will find that people are broadcasting movies of Krishna's Leela, and there are plays of Krishna's Leela. But unfortunately, they are selling just as much pornography as they are selling Krishna's Leela, even in Govardhan. What to speak of if you go, you know, I remember one time I was staying at Govardhan for 3 months with my family. And when I left India, just coming to Delhi, but as soon as I got on the airplane, I was flying from Delhi to London. As soon as I got on that plane, and it was Air India, immediately they started showing some advertisement for their airplane with people doing Bollywood dances and glorifying some mundane romance instead of Sita Ram and Radha Krishna and Rukmini Dwarkadish. And I could feel, I actually feel the decrease in transcendence and the flourishing of the modes of nature. It was quite astonishing. So it's very, very difficult. We understand, I mean, it's with great compassion, we understand that our original spiritual need for fun and play and entertainment doesn't have that much outlet in the world today. And therefore, it's understandable that people go to materialistic sources of entertainment. But the unfortunate consequence of that is that people lose their faith. Prabhupada's talking here about people losing their faith in the Shastras, thinking they're only imaginary stories. So this what we do for our fun and entertainment, first of all, it's very important in our lives. It's, as I said, it's an important part of our nature. But what we hear in terms of stories, what we hear in terms of entertainment, forms us. We look at a moment at some of the, and I'm not at all going to be able to cover all of it, we can look at why the content and the medium of the entertainment and the stories we hear is so important. So important. Well, I was recently reading some research that when we are hearing a story, when we are watching a drama, whenever we are hearing some kind of narrative, that what happens is our minds end up in a subtle level doing the same activities as the protagonist in the story. So if the person we're reading about in the story takes off his jacket or sweater or jumper and puts it down, then mentally we also put it down. Very well understood by athletic coaches. It's now become common practice among athletes that they mentally rehearse what they're going to do in their sporting activities before they go out and practice or play on the field. And studies have shown that the muscles in your body get 2/3 of the benefit of gross activity just by doing that activity subtly. That when you think about doing something, there's movement in the muscles of your body as if you're doing it. Of course, we as devotees all understand the principle that service offered in the mind is just as much accepted by the Lord as service offered by the body. We have the story of the Brahmana who burnt his finger in the sweet rice. We have the story of Nisthinkananda Brahmachari building the road of jewels for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But any story that we hear, we're not passive. It's not that we're just sitting there. You know, they call it couch potatoes, but that's not scientifically accurate. We are moving in our mind with the protagonist as if we are doing those activities ourselves, which is why when we're watching or hearing some sort of stories, we experience the emotions of the people in the stories. We experience the fear, we experience the exaltation, we experience the surprise. Why? Because we're actually traveling with them. Another feature of stories is that they provide a map for behavior. So philosophy gives you some intellectual belief. And emotionally, you may have some determination to act. But how to act? A very simple example. Srila Prabhupada often preaches that a woman should be submissive to her husband. And he says that such things are not learned in some sort of a course in school, but they're learned through association. Now, of course, many of us coming to the Hare Krishna movement, many of us ladies, when we read these sort of things, we said, yes, I want to do that. I want to be a Vedic wife. But we didn't know any Vedic wives. You know, our mothers and our aunties and our elder female relatives probably didn't give us the sort of example that we needed. So how are we going to do it? You know, Prabhupada was giving us the general principles. But in order to do it, you had to have stories. You had to have a story. How did Sita behave as the ideal wife? How did Rukmini? How did Satyabhama? But even that was a little difficult for us because the context was so removed from our experience. We needed some stories of people who had a similar situation to us in order to be able to apply things. And therefore, you know, books that were written about other women in our own modern context became very popular. As soon as you hear the story, oh, that's how they do it. Oh, that's how they do it. We found this in the Sankirtan newsletter also. It wasn't enough just to say, get out there and double book distribution. But you heard stories. This book distributor went out and had this experience, and that's how they reacted to it. And when people were heckling the Sankirtan party, they behaved like this. And these stories give us a map for action. Not only a theoretical map, but again, as we hear the stories, we are moving along with the person in the story. So we are practicing that behavior. And this is one reason why the stories of the devotees are as important as the stories of God himself. Here it's speaking about the stories of Krishna, Uttama Sloka. But we also read frequently that to hear the stories of the Lord is equally important. So one reason, of course, is that Krishna loves his devotees, and when we hear about his devotees, he becomes very happy. But another reason is that, and there's many, I'm not giving the only reason, when we read about the activities of the devotees, we also experience something of what they're experiencing. And we therefore are practicing, just like the athlete practicing what they're doing. We're practicing. Now I know how to act. Now I have a model of how to act. How do I act when I'm harassed by a Hiranyakashipu? How do I act in this situation? How do I act in that situation? We have a model. Another great importance of hearing the stories of the Shastra and of the Lord is that we develop faith in the Lord. We talked before about how practicing Krishna consciousness is not a level playing field because of our previous karma. Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there are different levels of qualification or adhikar for taking up devotional service based in our faith in Shastra. He calls this the Uttama Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Kanista Adhikari. One who has unsteady, Kanista means unsteady, unsteady qualification, one who has medium qualification, and one who has superior qualification. And he describes this level of qualification based wholly and solely on faith in Shastra. Now, the Kanista, Madhyama, and Uttama practitioner of bhakti is described differently in different places. So it's also described in the Upadeshamrita as to what extent one is engaged in the process and to what extent one has given up criticism. And it's described in the 11th canto, which Srila Prabhupada quotes in Ishopanishad and many, many other places, in terms of one's relationship with Krishna and with other living entities. But in terms of qualification to take up bhakti, how easy or how difficult is it, in other words, to follow the process of bhakti? You know, if you wanted to know how qualified somebody is to take up some sport, you want to see how strong they are, how fast they can run, how much stamina they have. So how qualified are you to take up bhakti? That depends on one's strength of faith in the Shastra. Why is that? Because taking up bhakti is almost always, we won't say always, but almost always, it begins from the platform of Vaidhi bhakti. It doesn't begin from the spontaneous platform. People who try to begin from the spontaneous platform usually fall on their faces. Just like if you don't have any training, here we're talking about dancers, and Prabhupada talks about these dancers, singers, how they were all trained in their respective families. It's not that they just get up in front of the Lord and do something without training. So, you know, if you think, well, I'm just going to get up and dance without any training. We used to do this sort of thing in the beginning days of ISKCON. Just say, okay, you know, you can be a teacher, you can be a public speaker, you can be in anything without training as long as you're chanting 16 rounds, attending Mangal Artik, and following the principles. You know, you don't need any kind of training in your occupation. So this, of course, is patent nonsense. In a actually God-conscious society, people's propensities were noticed. People had their inclinations, but then they received proper training. Here Prabhupada says by their respective families. Anyway, so this training is like Vaidhi Bhakti. And performing, once one is thoroughly trained, is like Raghunuga Bhakti. And without any training, without following the rules, just like when I was in secondary school and high school, so my parents urged me to join the debating club. And our teacher there, Jerry Lasso, to whom I offer all respects and thanks, he trained us in the rules of public speaking. Now, first you had to master the rules. You had to master the rules of delivery, how you stand, how you look at the audience, how you use your hands. You master the rules of how you organize your content, you know, introduction and three areas and a conclusion, and tell them what you're going to tell them and tell them and tell them what you told them. And we practice those rules, or the rules of debate. You know, we practice those rules over and over and over and over again. We would meet three times a week for 2 to 3 hours each time, just practicing, 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 practicing. Just rules. Why? To get you to the point where you can be given any topic, and with 30 seconds preparation, you can speak on any topic. So that you get to the level of spontaneity by practice or anything. You know, my daughter is a Bharatanatyam dance teacher, and she used to tell me, well, the students, they do, all they want to do is perform. You know, they don't want to show up for the practice sessions. They just want to perform. And they don't understand that you can't perform without the practice. And Prabhupada tells a story from his own childhood of when he was in one drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the head of the drama department had them practice for 1 year before they performed. Then Prabhupada said, eventually all the actors said, okay, we've practiced enough. Now we're not going to practice anymore. We want to get on stage. So certainly we want to come to the level of Raghunuga Bhakti. We don't want to stay on the level of practice. We're not eternally trying to stay on the level of practice, just following the rules as rules. That's not our purpose. However, one, generally speaking, 99.99999% has to start there. You know, occasionally, like you see sometimes a Mozart, he can sit down at the piano and play without any practice, without any training. So sometimes it's like that. Sukadev Goswami, he could come to the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti just by hearing the Bhagavatam one time. Now, that may happen. But generally, one has to follow the rules. So what's the qualification for following the rules? Well, faith in the rules. You know, why will I follow rules unless I have faith in them? Faith in them, what do we mean faith in them? Faith that if I follow these rules, I'll come to the spontaneous platform. That's all, we all want to come to the spontaneous platform. We all want to be in a position where we think about Krishna naturally, where we don't have to say, okay, now I have to think about Krishna. But we have a natural outpouring of love for Krishna, where it's not, as Prabhupada says, a hard struggle with determination, where it's not a matter of willpower and any sense of obligation. We all want to come to that point. So we have to have faith that the rules of the Shastra are what's going to bring us to that point. In other words, we have to have faith that the Shastra is true, that it's authentic, that it works. Not just that it's authentic historically speaking. I mean, Prabhupada talks about here how the Shastras are considered inauthentic by modern historians. But we have to have faith that this instruction from the Shastra, this instruction from Srila Prabhupada, this instruction from the Acharyas, is coming from the absolute truth, from the Param Sattvam. And if the more we have that faith, the more we will apply ourselves to the rules, which will then awaken spontaneity within us. And if you want to learn dancing, you want to learn public speaking, you want to learn art, what else is mentioned here. You want to learn to be a genealogist, a historian. You go to someone who trains you, and you have to believe that the kind of training this person's giving you is going to work. So why did I believe in my public speaking and debate coach, Gerald Lasso? I believed in him. Well, first of all, he was part of the school system run by the government. And second of all, because he had a history of the people he trained winning competitions. He was a successful coach. So why do we have faith in the Shastra? Because they're coming down in disciplic succession. They're authorized. It's not just somebody independent. You know, many religions are started that way. Somebody just says, I went out in the desert and had a revelation. But not like that. The Shastras, the Acharyas, Evam Parampara Prapto, Imam Rajasayorvidu. Coming down. Parampara means following one after another. And also because we see the result. We see that people who take, that Krishna says to Arjuna, many, many people in the past have become purified. Now, of course, we may have some difficulty when looking at the Shastra in terms of our faith. The things Prabhupada says here are not in chronological order. Chrono means time, logical means sequential. They're not going in a sequential order of time, and things are mixed together. Prabhupada says even different planets. So one story may be a mixture of something happening on this planet and something that happened on another planet and something that happened in one yuga and something that happened in another yuga, and it's all mixed together. And that is because the Shastra is teaching things not in a linear historical sense, but in what we call a thematic sense. What they're doing is they're combining themes, they're combining ideas, and then they're pulling in events in order to communicate those ideas. In the very early days of the movement, Hayagriva wanted to distribute a book done by the followers of Chinmayi on the stories of the Bhagavatam. Now, in those days, this was in the 60s, Srila Prabhupada had not translated the later cantos of the Bhagavatam, and the only thing the devotees knew of the stories in terms of plot is what happens when, by done by whom, were what Prabhupada had told in his lectures. And, of course, Prabhupada wouldn't generally tell the entire story in a lecture. So, naturally, the devotees were eager to hear all of the stories. And Prabhupada wrote a letter to Hayagriva stating that we're not just interested in summaries of the stories. In other words, we don't just want to know what the plot is. He said what we're interested in is the philosophy. We're interested in the ideas. So we see that the scripture itself is organized like that. It's organized around themes and ideas and ultimately bhav. It's organized around mood. And the purpose of studying the scripture and studying the leelas of the Lord and the leelas and the krita, the play of the devotees and the Lord, is not so much that one can answer trivia questions. Like Prabhupada wasn't pleased with the Krishna Bowl contest among the Gurukul children. He wanted us to stop it. We find that even in the Bhakti Shastri exams, you know, I've been working with the Bhakti Shastri, teaching Bhakti Shastri and the Bhakti Shastri exams for decades. But most of the Bhakti Shastri exams are what I would call trivia questions. It's just fact questions. Rather than a real understanding of what is the philosophy, what is the mood. The leelas are platforms in which loving exchanges take place. That's what they are. Just like I'm reading about in preparation for speaking on Das Mula Tattva, point 3. I was reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's speaking how the Sandini potency, the potency of existence, is what manifests the leelas. But the Ladini potency is what manifests the exchanges, the activities that are happening. They're the platform. So therefore, the Shastra is grouped that way. And so historians who are expecting things to be chronological, they say, oh, this must be imagination because it doesn't fit. We find sometimes devotees also lose some faith because as they're looking through the Shastras, they say, wait a minute, this story is told one way in the Bhagavatam and another way in this other Purana, and then this Acharya tells it another way, and all these details couldn't possibly be true in the same story because they contradict each other. and they lose some faith. They think, well, maybe these are not accurate. But Prabhupada's saying here, no, they are accurate. It's just that they're a combination of different stories that took place in different places and at different times. Of course, another reason that the historians reject the Shastra is that, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, and he lists three objections by modern historians, modern scientists, hard scientists, soft scientists, to the authenticity of the Bhagavatam. And one of them is the existence of supernatural accounts. You know, eagles flying from one planet to another, and the wives of Kasyapa giving birth to snakes and birds, and et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, our objection to our response to this, our response to the chronology objection, is that these things are grouped by theme and by mood and by philosophical point. They're not told in a historically linear way. And our response to the supernatural objection is that modern science also has to resort to supernatural explanations. That it's impossible to talk about truth, ultimate truth, without going to something that's inconceivable and supernatural. You just can't do it. OBL Kapoor, in his book of the philosophy and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Srila Prabhupada really liked, he discusses the philosophies of the other Vaishnavas acharyas that are not Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. And he shows that all of them have some achincha in them. In the same way, the scientists who talk about the original creation as being infinitely small and infinitely dense, well, that's pretty supernatural. Or scientists who talk about matter spontaneously joining together and becoming alive, that's really supernatural. We don't see matter ever becoming alive. The scientists talking about one cell gradually through a series of mutations turning into giraffes and oak trees and coconut trees and orangutans and tigers and leopards, and that's pretty supernatural. In fact, that's as or if not more supernatural than the descriptions in the Bhagavatam. So the question isn't whether we're going to believe something supernatural or something that's part of our common everyday experience, but which supernatural accounts are we going to have faith in? That's really what it comes down to. Anyway, this faith is very important for our own advancement. The Shastra is also important in that in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna delineates, and Prabhupada in his purports also goes on with this, that the main difference between a demon and a devotee is whether or not they follow the Shastra. Of course, we could also say a main difference is whether or not they have faith in Krishna, because demons who follow the Shastra go to the subterranean heavenly planets. You know, if you've got good karma but you hate Krishna, he still treats you nicely. Not like some other religious philosophy, if you don't like Krishna, you go to hell forever. No, not like that. Even if you don't like God, even if you're a demon and an atheist, if you follow the rules of the universe, you get to go to your own heaven. You know, you wouldn't want to hang out with Indra and the Devas since they love Krishna. But you can get to go to your subterranean heavenly planets, which are full of material opulences. But anyway, in 16th chapter, one of the main demarcations of the demons and the devotees is, do they follow the rules of Shastra? So here we can see how important these stories from Krishna and the devotees, whether they are read in the Shastra directly or whether they're transmitted in the form of dance, song, drama, history, genealogy, and public speaking, that they're very important. First of all, they fulfill the natural human need towards fun and draw it towards Krishna. They also give us a model for action. They give us a way to model our lives. Yes, I want to be like that. They give us a way to act according to identifying with the people in the stories. They give us faith. They give us faith in the Shastra, without which we cannot properly execute Krishna consciousness. Not possible. We're not going to come to the spontaneous platform without faith in the Shastra, which then guides our life. And by faith in the Shastra, we also become a righteous person, a deva rather than a demon. And without being a righteous person, again, Krishna consciousness is very, very difficult. So this absorption in the Shastra, in the genuine histories, in the activities of the Lord, it gives us ultimately the highest benefit. It makes Krishna consciousness so easy. You know, if you had a society where all the fun, all the entertainment, all the media was all shastrically based, how easy would it be to be Krishna conscious? I mean, the very things which are pulling so many of our sincere and dedicated practitioners away would then be a means for bringing them closer. Well, if we're going to take advantage of this, first of all, we need to increase our faith in the Shastra. If we're going to reject this general of Kali Yuga that is accelerating the degeneration of the people, if we're going to reject ordinary movies, ordinary television, and all of the sorts of entertainment, materialistic entertainment that are available on the internet, then we have to have faith in the value of the entertainment found in the Shastra. I mean, frankly, most of us do not have daily capacity to get Shastric-based entertainment in our life. You know, not only in Goloka Vrindavan do they have daily evening entertainment, but in the old villages in India, it was like that. And not India, all over the world. Even today when I go to the farm in Hungary, the devotees don't have electricity in their homes. So as soon as the sun goes down, they come to the temple where there is some electricity and they use candles. And what are they doing? They're having bhajans, they're reading from Shastra, they're hearing the stories. So in a simple society, people would come together in the every evening and have Krishna-related stories every evening, every festival day. So we don't have that facility, most of us. You know, even if you're in a very large devotional community, even if you live, say, in Mayapur Dham, where there's a large gated community of devotees, still there's not nightly entertainment. Maybe once a week there's the Saturday elephant procession. But so we need to have faith in the Shastra so that we get our entertainment from that, so that we absorb ourselves in the pastimes of the Lord as explained there. And this will help us increase both the quantity and the quality of our hearing, that we will become absorbed. As we gain faith in the potency and the importance of hearing about Krishna, then we will make that endeavor. That even though it's difficult, even though it's not so available to us, we're going to absorb ourselves in the Shastra as our form of recreation and our form of entertainment and our form of fun. We will be relishing the activities of the Shastra to center our needs for fun on the activities of the Lord, that whatever we do for fun, whatever parties we have, whatever exercise and sports we engage in, whatever storytelling we do, to center that on the Lord. To center that on the Lord. And with the focus, as the Shastra itself does, on the mood, on the bhav, on the themes, on the points, on the philosophy, not just on a narration of the facts. And not only a question of being the hearers, the recipients, but also the producers of. So here we see that Prabhupada says they're doing it according to their respective talents. That according to one's talents, Prabhupada says elsewhere, each of us has some extraordinary ability. So each of us has some ability, and many of us have some ability in these areas, as a dancer, as a singer, as a dramatist, as a painter, as a historian, as a genealogist, as a public speaker, or in many other ways, whatever talents that we have, whatever abilities that we have, use that to broadcast the glories of the Lord and to broadcast them in a way where people are not only entertained, but where they're entering into the deep moods. Again, our point isn't just to tell a story. Our point is to involve people in these narrations, such that even if people don't read the Shastras, that they will get as much out of our presentation as they will from reading the Shastra directly. Prabhupada told the devotees who created the dioramas that they were living books, and he said that people would get more benefit from seeing their dioramas as from reading his Krishna book. So this is also our duty. We may not be a great general in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, and we may think, how can I fight against Kali Yuga's general of the media? You know, I may just be a foot soldier. I might not even be a foot soldier. I might be just a support person in the background facilitating the foot soldiers. But still, I can do my little part to use whatever talents I have to broadcast the glories of the Lord in such a way, using my whatever expertise the Lord has given me, to make it so attractively done that not only the content is attractive, naturally so, but my presentation of it is so attractive through training, as Prabhupada says here, to be trained. To get the training in order to present the glories of the Lord in such a way that people will become attracted. Ultimately, there's no competition between the wonderful activities of the Lord and whatever activities are being shown in the stories of the materialistic media. You know, the materialistic persons, they may have the hundreds of millions to invest in computer animation and this pyrotechnics and this and that. But on the ultimate level, that's not what's really attractive. What's really attractive, adbhuta, right? They have the wonderful things in terms of their technology. But what's really wonderful are Krishna's superhuman activities and the superhuman activities of the devotees. So if we ourselves are have the adhikar from strictly following the process and we take the training to become daksha, one of the 26 qualities of a devotee, to become expert, to take whatever talents the Lord has given us and to cultivate them, to train them, and then to use that to move the urge for entertainment over to the Lord, that will transform society automatically. Prabhupada several times said that we could take over the world in 18 days, just like the Battle of Kurukshetra was won in 18 days. And this is the way to do it, through stories. Through stories. Through these histories. Through these genealogies. Done in a very artistic and expert way. So we can think of, where am I getting my entertainment and my fun? Where is my taste? Am I doing my Krishna consciousness just ritualistically and I'm actually getting my taste from materialistic things? Or am I relishing the stories of the Lord and the devotees? Am I organizing my life so that what I consider to be entertainment and fun, recreation, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is centered around the Lord? And am I doing my part to bring that to others? Am I doing my part to show how Krishna consciousness is exciting? What does he say? I'm adventure. Krishna says, I'm adventure. So hopefully one day, I don't know if it's in our lifetime, but hopefully one day we will have a society where all of these things will again be used for the glorification of the Lord. We don't want to throw out anything. We want everything to be used in the glorification of the Lord. And if we at least individually live our lives that way, then someday, very soon, we will also be there in Goloka Vrindavan, watching Krishna watch the entertainment of his own Leela. Oh, I just went out.
Okay, I think I got was offline for a couple seconds there.
No, you were not offline. Everything's fine.
Am I? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Everything's fine? Okay.
So, well, actually, I'm sorry. All of a sudden, your voice dropped.
Okay, any questions?
I'll ask a question.
Well, that's what it was. The connection is getting so...
Mother, can you hear us okay?
No, connection. Now, the connection's going off and on. I don't have any questions today. There's something wrong with my connection. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh,
okay.
I had a lot of questions.
I didn't know why she thought that her... I don't know, she couldn't hear us. Anyway. All right, Prabhu.
Another great class.
Yeah, it was another great class. Hanuma Prashekha Swami is online. Hi, Krishna. Oh, no, he's on. He's off. He went off. Prabhu is reminded that tonight Ramai Swami is going to be giving Bhagavad Gita class, so please listen in. So
at 6 o'clock.
Thank you very much. At 6 o'clock, Hawaii time. All right, thank you very much, Prabhu's. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Bol. Hare Bol, Ramananda.
Ijai.